How was your weekend, Buzz?
Yeah, very good, thank you. There were a couple of things in the NRL that were disappointing, weren't they? Geez, I felt for Tom Turbo when he went off. For the competition, not just Manly, to lose, you know, the Dally M Player of the Year. And, geez, it was, you know, it wasn't a nice sight, was it, as he left the field in agony with that dislocated shoulder, and he's now out for the year, which is really sad for the game. It also throws up a lot of issues for State of Origin, with Luttrell out as well. Luttrell's still in America working on his knee and hamstring. It's, you know, Origin's crept up on us. Next weekend, they actually pick the team for game one. And I noticed the TAB over the weekend, when Tom Turbo was ruled out, a huge influence on the betting market. The Blues were $1.35. I didn't think they should be that short, but they're now out for $1.55. Mm-hmm. And guys, you look at the form of the Broncos and you look at the form of the Cowboys, I said, this is going to be a belter of an Origin series. It really is. And Lods, I think the big question mark around this football side that Freddie and Greg Alexander pick next weekend is around the centres without our two champions. Mm. Look, I think there's four players. I think the obvious ones are Katoni Staggs and Stephen Crichton from Penrith to play in the centres. But if Freddie's going to be loyal, which he's renowned for, I'm thinking Campbell Graham is still in the race, even though South are struggling, and I think Jack White is the other option if he's just going to pick the best 17 players available. Mm. So that's going to be really interesting next Sunday night in the centres.
Yeah, it'll be difficult to leave a guy like Stephen Crichton out because of his combination with all those other Penrith players we're expecting to be named in that squad. And then, of course, you know, he's playing with the side that's coming last, but it's nearly... And Katoni Staggs deserves an opportunity, but I'm just wondering whether they might go with Matt Burton because of the fact he was the Dally M centre last year. He's played with Luai, and it's such an advantage when you've got blokes that know each other's game inside out and they can play well together in a short preparation. Yeah,
it's a good point. Imagine that kicking game he's got. Imagine those torpedo bombs. You know, or the floaters, whatever they call them these days, in State of Origin. Imagine the poor Queensland fullback having to deal with that. Look,
Buzz, are we playing it? Are we playing it up a bit as well? Like, I even listened to a couple of things that Freddie said. Surely we're still a much better team than Queensland. I feel like I know we've got injuries to some big players, right? And of course you miss that, but you look through the New South Wales team. Like, what a problem to have. We've still got superstars there to pick. We've still got a brilliant team.
Yeah, there's no question about that. But you've got to remember, Clarkey, there's a couple of forwards there too from last year, like Angus Crichton at the Roosters and Daniel Saifidi, who will probably, on form, struggle to make the side. Where we are really, really fortunate is this amazingly brilliant Penrith side, and I think they will provide six players. They'll provide the halves, Cleary and Luai, Stephen Crichton most likely, and Brian Toho. They've also got Isaiah Yeo at lock forward and Liam Martin.
Yeah.
Now, the other guy I wanted to talk about as a possible seventh, if Loz, you love talking about combinations and the fact Matt Burton played at Penrith, I will stick with Damien Cook for game one because he's been there, done that, and he's an out and out, you know, he's a great player. But Souths are struggling and he's eventually going to, you know, his form will be put under the microscope, although personally I don't think he's going that bad. But you do have, if you talk combinations, you've got Appy Coruscant at the Panthers. And I think he was in the side last year as an 18th man. He misbehaved and was sent home from camp for breaking the COVID bubble. But I don't think if we're to get the trouble, if we're to lose game one, I think Appy Coruscant will then come into the picture.
Yeah, I think if anything happened to Cookie, I think Cookie's quite safe there. I know that Souths aren't playing well. I think Cookie's been one of their best players
definitely
this year, and I thought on the weekend he tried hard and If something did happen to Cookie, I think Appy would be a very, very good replacement. But
it's interesting, guys, they're going to pick a squad, I think, of 21 rather than just the 17 and an 18th man. You know,
because of COVID?
Yeah, and because of the flu. And
is Cookie not your Australian number nine, Buzz?
I would pick him at this stage for the World Cup.
Okay.
But Clarkey, Origin is going to have a huge bearing on that selection. Because there's a fella in Melbourne, Harry Grant, who I think has probably been the best hooker in the competition for a couple of years. Bad, an extremely rare blunder by Craig Bellamy to move him to halfback over the weekend against the Cowboys. But Cook v. Grant is a bit like, look, Cleary versus Cherry Evans. You know, there's for the World Cup later in the year, and I know we're getting off topic here with Origin, this has some exciting one-on-ones going to happen in State of Origin. And Clarkey, I don't think we can ignore the Broncos and Cowboys form. The Cowboys in particular, what a story they are. I did a piece in the Telegraph today, and I've had to give up a few of my colleagues. At the start of the year, we were all asked to name our top eight and our wooden spooners. Now, eight of us tipped the Cowboys to come last.
Name and shame them. Name and shame them, Buzz. Who are they? I want to know who they are.
Michael Carriano.
Oh, beautiful. Worst judge in the game, yep.
Yeah. Paul Kent.
Oh, terrible. No doubt, terrible.
No doubt let me know about in the green room tonight. Nick Walshaw, David Riccio, Fatima Cadeau, James Felt. Oh, I've just felt Dennis Ritchie.
Oh, Dennis Ritchie's on that list.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not surprised then.
So am I. Yeah. But you know what? I had a look at the... I got Jared Daffy to send me their betting fluctuations before I wrote the column. Mm. And in round six, they were at $101. They lost round one to the Bulldogs, and then they lost round six, five or six, to the Warriors. You know, probably the two weakest sides in the comp. But we're talking, you know, we're looking big picture. Dally M Coach of the Year, if you had a market now, Todd Payton would be hard to, he'd be fairly short, wouldn't he, guys?
Well, he'd be up there. He'd be in the discussion. I think he's done a remarkable job, Toddy. And given, you know, what happened last year and people were thinking that the players were off him, but he stood his ground and he was very strong. And obviously the players have jumped on board and supported him. I'll tell you what, Buzz, yesterday watching the Sharks and the Titans game, I was very impressed with your fullback, Lachie Miller. What a debut for a 27-year-old.
I tell you what impresses me about that young fella. When was it? Late last year before the Olympics, a guy, his name's Anthony Field, he's a player agent, and rang me and said, look, I've got a fair story. Lachie Miller. Now, he was still a month or so off going to the Olympic Games. And he said to me he wants to play NRL. I said, geez, this is unusual. Before the Olympics, you know, I didn't know how rugby union would take it if one of their players came out and said, look, after the, I'm going to switch codes. But, look, he had the courage and, you know, the fortitude to come out and say what he actually wanted to do. And he had an offer on the table from rugby union. He knocked it back and he backed himself, not just to go to Tokyo, but to get an NRL club. And they shopped him around. The Titans were interested and so were the Sharks. And his performance yesterday, 27 years of age, the speed he's got, you know, the step he's got, he seems to have all the skills. I think it's a huge boost for Cronulla for the rest of the season because, look, Will Kennedy will come back and will play fullback. But this fella from 14, he's a halfback, he's a 5'8", he's a fullback. As I think I heard you say, he could probably even play somewhere else, maybe lock forward for stage of a game. I think it's a wonderful boost for Cronulla to have a 14 of his ability, and his versatility is a huge thing for the show.
And the Raiders just too good for Souths yesterday. So where are Souths at Buzz, because I think now it seems like they've almost closed the premiership window on themselves.
Yeah, I saw Paul Crawley wrote that this morning. South were, and I spoke to Blake Siley and I spoke to Jason Demetrio at Magic Round last week, and South were, their aim for the next month was to try and hang in there and stay in a position in the finals race where they could launch their charge when Latrell Mitchell comes back in, what, 3 or 4 weeks. But that performance yesterday, I would suggest, would indicate even with Latrell back, it will make a difference. But I've got my doubts now about them making the eight. They're not playing well at all. Adam Reynolds is obviously the story of the year so far as bad recruitment goes, and the fact they let him go. And I don't want to back Lachlan Ilias, but he's not Adam Reynolds. And it's quite obvious that even with the captaincy, Cody Walker is not the player he was when he was Dally M 5-8 of the year last year. He still doesn't look happy. And this side is struggling big time. And it's what happens, and it happens all the time when Wayne Bennett leaves the club. And I'm not saying that Wayne Bennett left them in poor shape. What I'm saying is they miss his man management around the football club, and players like Cody Walker, who he was so tight with, and Wayne had could get the best out of him. He's no longer there. So without Reynolds and Bennett and Dane Gagai, I think they're just about... They're not cooked, but they're going to struggle to make the top eight, I don't think. But I don't want to take anything away from Canberra, because Canberra's one of the best stories of the weekend. And the way they turned up yesterday for Josh Papali'i in his 250th game, the way Ricky Stewart has turned this club around over the last 3 weeks, do you know what I think it coincided with, Lott?
What's that?
Jared Croker. Remember? He turned up to training and to make his comeback.
Yep.
And remember Jack White and yelled out to the players, skip us back. They all went and jumped on him. And it, just having him back in that side showed that they weren't down and out, this football club.
Yep.
And they still had a season to play for. They mightn't have a halfback. They might have lost their hooker. But it showed they hadn't given up. And just that, you know, there's no one like Jared Croker in the competition for that Canberra Raiders logo, the Canberra Raiders, the lime green jersey, and what it means to those players. And they were just outstanding yesterday.
They were. They were very, very good. And you're right with Papali'i. But I thought he and Joe Tarpany were excellent. They really took the ball forward. They were aggressive in everything they did, and everyone else jumped on board. I'll tell you what is disturbing, Buzz, in your column today, death threats to our referees. That's just not on.
Yeah, that's terrible, mate. It's made me start to think about, you know, the regular criticism of referees. I'm like everyone else. I get on Twitter during games, and I blew up last Thursday night when there was an obvious obstruction. They let go, the bunker let go in the Newcastle Broncos game. You know, I blew up, and I originally thought the Manly tackle on the Parramatta winger, which Desi Hasler blew up about, was a fair tackle, but I think replays show there was head contact, and while it didn't deserve to be put on report, it was a fair penalty. This is so out of order, death threats to referees, as you just said. And I had a good chat to Peter Volandis about it yesterday. Look, they get 98% of decisions right. And you know what? If we didn't have a bunker, there'd be far more mistakes we'd be complaining about. You remember the Nines tournament in Perth 18 months ago? Remember Cody Ramsey scored?
Mm.
Clearly put the ball outside the in-goal area, put the ball down outside the in-goal area. There was no bunker in that tournament, and it knocked Penrith out of the tournament. So without a bunker, we're going to have a lot more mistakes. So I just think with the recruitment of young referees from the park, and we want more to come through because a couple of the guys there, you know, are getting on, like Ben Cummins. So I think we've got to think twice about our criticism of them. And while we all get worked up, and while, you know, we love our football teams, we love to win each weekend, they are going to make mistakes. And the bunker is there to limit those mistakes, and they're always going to make errors, but it's just gone too far with, you know, the NRL have had to put on extra security for these guys to walk them to the car park after games and things like that. It's just disgraceful. Mm. And I think we all need to think long and hard about it.
Buzz, the Tigers, 36-22 against the Dogs there on Friday night, but the pressure will still be on to get a result again against Souths this week.
Yeah, I see Michael Chambers has written about that in Nine Entertainment this morning. Poor old Madge, his last 6 weeks haven't been too bad. And obviously, Jackson Hastings is steering them around the park nicely. They played well, with not brilliantly, to beat the depleted Canterbury Bulldogs the other day. Look, I can understand him being still under the microscope. I think the West Tigers board and their chief executive, Justin Pascoe, are in a position where they can't just think about the remainder of this season. They need to look big picture. They need to look 2 or 3 years ahead. They need to look at all their options. And there's some fair coaches who are out there available, including Cameron Serraldo from Penrith. And so I can understand that, you know, Madge has had some lean seasons, but I tell you what, the coach is doing a lot worse than he is at the moment. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got any news on the Canterbury coach, Buzz? Do we know whether it's going to be sort of an experienced coach? I mean, we've heard that, you know, plenty of names being linked to the position, but how far down the track do you think the Bulldogs are? And have they got anyone in mind, do you think, Buzz, or are they just open-minded?
As you know, Loz, I'm not close to Phil Gould. Look, he's been crook all weekend, so he obviously hasn't been talking to other coaches for some time. Mm. Look, I know Gus says things and goes back on it, like Baz. He did say last week that he was going to get an experienced coach. So if you take him on his word, there are only two experienced coaches on the market right now, which is Shane Flanagan and Paul Green. Having said that, there is nothing to stop him going to a Michael Maguire or to any other NRL coaches in a job right now just to sound them out and see if there's any interest. This sort of thing has happened before.
Yep.
Des Hasler was under contract at Manly, had another year to go when Canterbury decided he was the man they wanted. How long ago was that? 8 years ago?
Yep.
Remember Todd Greenberg? There was drama because he pinched him while he was under contract at Manly. Yeah. So I wouldn't put that past Gus to be looking elsewhere like that. But I guess it's a wait and see. Look, they're in all sorts of trouble, aren't they? And I think just for their fans, for their sponsors, I wrote over the weekend about Arthur Laundy not happy at how things are working out there. I think they need to restore some confidence ASAP, just for all their stakeholders, and come out and make a statement and find a new coach in the very near future.
Thanks so much, Buzz.
Yeah, have a good week, guys.